Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, episode 1842. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, proud to be your host. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot or a young partisan tuned in tonight, my name is your name too. It is December 9th, which is a big day, especially for the young partisans that are tuning in, because in the next segment, right after the news, I'll make it short. Tonight's going to be a kind of a short, shorter than normal show, I think. We want to make sure that our young partisans can get to bed on time, especially those on the East Coast. So we're going to get those numbers right out to you. But there are some news stories that we want to share with you. At the top of the news, I have some sad news. Little Orphan Annie, codename Little Orphan Annie, has strep throat this week. She is not able to give the number. So I'm sorry, kids. It's going to be me and my boring old voice. And Little Orphan Annie cannot be with us tonight. And we're really sad about that. So just remember her in your prayers. She's healing. She's getting better. But just not quite up to the task of reading the secret coded message that you're going to be decoding for your chance to win one of two grand prizes, the Red Ryder Carbon Action 600-shot air rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing which tells time. Very exciting. So let's see. Let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by our friend and author, Glenn Tate, the author of the 299 Days book series with all 10 books out, including the audio books. If you haven't checked those out, you can do so at 299days.com. At the top of the news, something I'm not going to go into depth on, but we are watching this yellow vest riot situation in Paris, specifically because it is spreading. Now, apparently it is reportedly being spreading to Denmark, the Netherlands, also still trying to confirm Sweden. And they're concerned about this spreading into the UK and elsewhere. These are it's kind of hard to pin down exactly who these guys are. They're anti-Macron, the French president. They're calling for his resignation. Of course, he's a globalist socialist. These guys are apparently being labeled as populist. That means I'm really surprised that they're not calling them right-wing extremists, which is what typically is the label that they do put on populists or nationalists. But that's what they're calling them. They're calling them populists. So we're watching this really closely. There is some intelligence estimates are that this could spread even into the United States. So it's kind of interesting to see how that might reconcile with, the Antifa type of riots that we see. It's kind of the Antifa type of, flavor to these riots. Just rebelliousness, lawlessness. They're protesting. It started off protesting high taxes. Isn't that interesting? Okay. This next story I'm going to cover more in depth in segment 4. It's going to be our South Africa update. Things are escalating there. From the Daily Star out of the UK is reporting apparently that the president there, Ramaphosa, is saying your time is up. South Africa sets a date now for white farmer land grabs. They set the date for when it's much criticized land expropriations without compensation can begin just based on your skin color, taking away land that belongs to you and has been in your family for generations and even decades, many decades, and even centuries, that they have to take your land and give it to someone else who has a different skin color. And meanwhile, the rest of the world is largely silent, but we do have some updates I'm looking forward to sharing with you in segment four. But yeah, they're to say, your time is up, white people. This is amazing. This is something we don't really get into the race issue, you know, with the American Redoubt. It's really kind of irrelevant, but this is relevant in the sense that it is communist driven. And in South Africa, they're pitting white against black. But in the United States, they still use this us versus them class warfare, fomenting a racial division or a religious anti-Christian sentiment, whatever it is, to cause division. And of course, in the case of South Africa, they're using race. So it does affect us. These are many of them, mostly Christians, actually, that are being persecuted and bad things are happening to them. All right, I'll cover more of that in segment four. Good news. Good news, Patriots. Washington State says no to this Avista sale to Hydro One, this merger with this Canadian power company. Hydro One is tied to, well, the founder is a globalist at the UN level. Patrons, the customers of Hydro One in Canada, as soon as Hydro One has taken over their power companies, their rates go up massively, putting people without power because they can't afford it. These rates that go up, this is an international merger, and there's actually now there seems to be evidence that it's tied to NAFTA, the new NAFTA, how they're trying to spread load the United States resources as far as energy resources, which are strategic resources, across borders. And that would give control over to a foreign entity, which is dangerous. Well, it got shut down. This came out of the Coeur d'Alene Press. And of course, multiple news outlets are covering this. Here's a legitimate story by the Coeur d'Alene Pravda. So this truly is the truth. We've confirmed it. Washington State regulators stopped the proposed $5.3 billion sale of Avista to Hydro One, dead in its tracks, just this last Wednesday. A joint news release by Avista and Hydro One said the companies are extremely disappointed. I'll bet there's billions of dollars on the line. Billions of dollars that would have been coming out of your pockets, by the way. They're extremely disappointed in the UTC's decision. They're reviewing the order in detail and will determine the appropriate next steps, which means they're going to try to counter, which they have the right to do. But basically, it's been snuffed. So good job. Thanks to all of you who've continuously put pressure on your elected officials to stand against this and to speak out against this. So keep it up. They're going to, you know what they do. They're going to try to come back. They're not done. They're going to try to come back. Just like with anything else that we say no to, they're going to try to find backdoor ways. So you have to remain eternally vigilant, right? Or here's one for you kids listening. Reading the Bible at public school ignites controversy. A teacher posted a video of students reciting a verse on love. And this is from WorldNet Daily. A video posted online by a first grade teacher at a public school in Texas, showing her students reciting a Bible verse about love, has prompted protest from, guess who? This is sad, kids. From some of the parents. Some of the parents are protesting the Word of God being read in public school. The students at Brown Primary School in Smithville were reciting in unison a paraphrase of Romans 12, 9 through 10 from the Message Bible. Well, so this is basically a paraphrase Bible. But this is what they said in a public school. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. The passage reads, well, it's like too close to the actual real Bible verses. So some parents are in an uproar. And what's sad is here's one of the fathers who gets, of course, you know, this is what the newspaper is going to print this quote, right? This guy, Charlie Lucko, characterized the teacher's actions as religious indoctrination. That's a leftist term. he's, and this guy, Charles Lucko, according to this article, says that that violates the First Amendment, which is the First Amendment is the Constitution, the constitutional amendment, which guarantees your right to practice your religion. He's saying this is a violation. And he says, no, he says that he's a Christian. He has nothing against religion, he says, which I don't buy this for a second, because that's what they always say. I actually love Jesus, he said. I love his teachings, his practices, and it's been a big impact in my life, but I don't believe that belongs in the public school system. Well, this guy, this parent who supposedly says he loves Jesus, wants to say that he makes his stance because it's unconstitutional. It's a violation of the First Amendment. So very clearly, this parent, a grown-up, does not know the Constitution. Because when you look at the intent of the Founding Fathers, it's very obvious. The Founding Fathers correctly believed that religion, morality, and knowledge should be taught in public schools. They believed that morality could not be taught without religion, and that without morality, our nation would crumble. The U.S. Supreme Court in 1844 declared that morality could not be taught in government-operated schools without the New Testament. Our entire system of government was based on religion and morality, or as the founders often spoke of them, piety and virtue, which is what they called it. There's not a, and I'm reading this from, I got to find this website where I'm reading this from so I can link to it and give them full credit. But basically, they give a list of several of our founding fathers who had a lot to say about the Bible being read in school. But this article that I have that did some research on this says there's not a single signer of the Constitution who would have agreed that the Constitution he was signing was intended to give the federal government the power to order municipal schools, that means schools within your community, your city, to remove the Ten Commandments and the Bible. The founder's opinion of the Bible and of its use in schools was clear. Benjamin Rush, who's one of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, says the great enemy of the salvation of man, in my opinion, never invented a more effectual means of extirpating or extinguishing Christianity from the world than by persuading mankind that it was improper to read the Bible at schools. The Bible, when not read in schools, is seldom read in any subsequent period of life. It should be read in our schools in preference to all other books, from its containing the greatest portion of that kind of knowledge which is calculated to produce private and public temporal happiness. That's Benjamin Rush, the signer of the Declaration. And I've got similar quotes by Fisher Ames, John Adams, Henry Lawrence, Joseph Story, John Quincy Adams, Governor Morris, Patrick Henry, Daniel Webster, John Jay, Noah Webster, James McHenry. Many of these guys signed the Constitution. And we've got some uninformed parent trying to say, who claims to be a Christian, saying it's inappropriate to be reading from the Bible in a public school because it violates the First Amendment. What a dupe. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. But first, we've got some Amron operators on the air helping out with the storm there. Amron was activated in the eastern region. And this, even SRN News, they usually do a great job. They're even talking about it a little bit, about the storm. Listen to this.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Authorities have responded to hundreds of traffic accidents as a winter storm dumped snow and ice on parts of the southeast. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper said that the State Highway Patrol has responded to more than 500 crashes and 1,100 calls for service. Cooper said some crashes had caused major delays on interstate highways. Virginia State Police said that they had responded to more than 60 crashes as southern parts of the state had seen more than a foot of snow.
Okay, and then what we've got here is, actually I've got an executive summary from codename Bravo 65 out of North Carolina saying they've got 10 inches of snow on the ground. There's no icing. There's no message traffic to pass. But they did facilitate helping out with a nurse who needed transportation to get to work. I was not able to do that in the storm. So they were helping to facilitate that. I've got the executive summary. It's just too lengthy to go into right now. But apparently they're reporting some of these ham radio operators are reporting the power, commercial power is out where they are, where they are located. So they are operating on ham radio, amateur radio. Hey, when all else fails, there's ham radio, right? So these guys are staying in touch in case anyone loses commercial power and commercial communications, to be able to stay in touch with each other. So yeah, good stuff. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got some secret coded message coming at you. I will be bringing that to you this time for your chance to spend the next week decoding that and following the instructions. I'll talk about those instructions when we come back. Don't go away. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Hello, Liberty State supporters. I have such amazing news to share with everyone. You will recall that we had our first Liberty State County Volunteers meeting in Spokane this last September, where we had volunteers from 15 of the 20 counties in Liberty State. We now have had volunteers in 16 of the 20 counties. At that September meeting, we established organized and uniform structured leadership to lead the Liberty State efforts in each county. The county leadership was then sent home with the task of setting up their own volunteers recruiting meetings to bring in more volunteers in their own counties. Since then, they have been busy organizing, posting, and handing out flyers, preparing their locations, and advertising. They are stepping out and getting these volunteer recruiting meetings accomplished. So far, they are being met with extensive support across the board and overwhelming enthusiasm. As of December 1st of 2018, 7 counties have either already held their first volunteers meetings or they have them currently scheduled and locally advertised. Our hats enthusiastically go off to Yakima County, who had their meeting November 27th, Ferry County, who had their meeting on November 29th, Kittitas, whose meeting is coming up on December 1st, and then Klickitat will be on December 5th, Grant County, December 10th, Benton County, December 10th, and finally, Stevens County will be on December 13th. The rest of the counties are all working to establish their dates and locations as well, and we'll share them as we receive them. This is a very exciting development for Liberty State that is going to make our effort increase exponentially and advance very quickly from here on out. So we want to thank all the dedicated volunteers that have stepped up and taken action to join the only effort worth joining today. The Liberty State effort is the only one that will ever be able to bring back our power of the vote to the people of Eastern Washington, where when we cast our votes, we will actually get what we have all uniformly voted and have been voting for over 15 years. What a great day that will be, and it is now within our grasp. So plan to join in on this awesome effort today by volunteering or by donating to the Liberty State effort and make a difference that will actually count. I'm Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us at libertystate.org today.
Who's that little chatterbox? The one that's pretty auburn locks. Whom do you see? It's little orphan Annie. She and Sandy make a
We're here with segment two, Voice of the American Redoubt. And this segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots get strategically relocated into the free zones. They specialize in properties in the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho. All right, kids, you ready? All right, this is the segment where the secret coded message is going to be put out. I have to put it out if you're joining us late. Code name Annie could not be with us tonight to read the letters because she has strep throat, unfortunately. Now, hopefully you guys have already gone to radiofreeredoubt.com. You might be listening there right now to our live streaming, but there's a new posting that was put up yesterday. Saturday, titled Christmas Red Rider 2018. You'll see it. Welcome, young partisans. Are you ready for the 2018 Red Rider giveaway? And then there's a couple of steps you need to follow. So when you go there, you will need the one-time pad that's titled Miracle. And I know you guys have been practicing, but in that posting, you'll find the one-time pad titled Miracle. You'll need that to decode the message. And that message is going to give you the password It's going to tell you how to find the password. It is one single word. And you'll need to know where to go to find that one word, which is the password, to get you in to the password protected page for the final instructions on how to enter to win. So the numbers that I'm going to read here in just a minute, the secret coded message from Little Orphan Annie. You will need the one-time pad titled Miracle to decrypt that, and then use the conversion table to convert those final numbers into letters. And there will reveal a sentence, and that sentence is going to tell you where to find the password to get into the final stage for entering one of two grand prizes, the Red Ryder BB guns from the Daisy Museum, collector editions, one or two of only 2,500 produced. So here are the numbers. Have your pens and your paper ready. Ready to copy. And here are the numbers. 9 0 6 0 7 1 1 4 7 7 1 7 3 7 6 8 8 7 1 6 6 5 2 8 9 2 We're halfway through. 2 9 7 3 0 2 8 9 7 3 0 2 6 1 8 2 8 8 9 5 0 5 0 0 7 5 7 1 2 0 1 7 6 7 5 1 That's it, kids. There are your numbers. That was the secret coded message. You know what to do. Carefully decrypt those numbers. You've got until midnight next Saturday. And then next week we will announce the winners and we will email the winners. Don't forget to include your code name when you send in your entry. You'll know exactly how to send in that entry. Once you decrypt this, you find out what the password is. It's listed in there. When you decrypt this, you're going to find out how to locate the password, which will get you into the password protected page for the final step of entering for one of two grand prizes this year. And next week, I will be announcing the follow-up prizes, or the runner-up prizes, rather. Even if you don't win one of the two grand prizes, we'll be giving some other great stuff away, some resources and some gear that we know you're going to like. So we're going to announce exactly what that is. We haven't made our final decision yet. We're narrowing it down because there's so many cool options. We're going to make that final decision this week, and we'll let you know next week when we announce who the runner-up winners are. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. Segment three. Now, you kids, you can go to bed. And I know the rest of this is going to be boring grown-up stuff. We're going to be talking about what the Southern Poverty Law Center has been up to lately. And then in segment four, we're going to be talking about some of the disturbing developments that have taken place in South Africa and where they might be headed as well. So grown-ups, stick around. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
She and Sandy make a pair. They never seem to have a care. Cute little she, this little orphan Annie.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more. And we're back now for the grown-up stuff, segment three and four. Segment three is brought to you by our friends up there in the panhandle of Idaho. Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property, getting the most out of it, integrating the primary needs of water access, food supply, energy production, security features built in. It's strategic landscape design for a purpose. They also help with securing your water rights, which is a critical service that you don't want to overlook these days. So check them out. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com, helping you to achieve a life of liberty. All right, now I got a listener letter, and actually it's the same one that I read last week, the same listener, but he brought up a different thing this week, and this is what he said. On your recommended books list, I don't see the book Only by Blood and Suffering, Regaining Lost Freedom, a novel by Lavoie Finicum. As you all recall, Lavoie Finicum was the cowboy who was gunned down in Oregon in, 3 years ago now, coming up? Has it been that long? Wow. Anyway, he says, I heard on Matt Shea's show the other day that round two of the Finicum documentary is out now. I'm sure Jeanette Finicum, his widow, could use the money to go to court. Yes, indeed. You're absolutely right. And also the second of those three documentaries are out. Mark Herr from Center for Self-Governance is producing those. And matter of fact, they just had a presentation of that. I've seen it. The presentation was given in Spokane Valley just this last week. Anyway, I'll read on. The book is a quick read and surprisingly well written. I felt I got to know Lavoie by reading his book and watching some videos he made. Maybe you have your reasons for not putting the Finicum story on Radio Free Redoubt. Maybe it's too real and too controversial right now. Well, I'm not one to shy away from controversy or being too real, but he said, I just had a thought. A few of my friends would appreciate the book for Christmas. Thank you for being bold and taking a stand for freedom. God bless. Okay, thank you for that letter. Now, first of all, I've covered the story of Lavoie Finicum off and on for the last few years. I've talked about this. I've met with Jeanette Finicum, spoken with her at length about her situation. I know her personally, and I've definitely been a champion for the Finicums. But I have not mentioned his specific book because I'm still reading it. I am about a third of the way through, and I wanted to get through it so that I could do a review on it. But you're right. I could have brought it up. But so far, what I've read is excellent, and I've heard nothing but great reviews about the book. We'll see what we can do about tracking down a link and putting that in the highlights and resources posting, but the book is called Only by Blood and Suffering, Regaining Lost Freedom. That's by Lavoie Finicum. And we'll put a link up there, and maybe we'll even try to find an Amazon link for it. But yes, Jeanette Finicum absolutely could use the financial resources that she's going to need to move forward with this wrongful death lawsuit, which they have a very strong case for. It's just going to cost a lot of money that she frankly doesn't have. So this is what they're trying to do, is bring awareness to this and raise the funds so that she can do that. And I think it's a worthy cause. I never got to meet Lavoie Finicum in person, but like you, I feel like I knew him after I got to know him afterward by reading some of his writings and watching his YouTube videos, and especially the great work that Mark Herr has done with this documentary series. So if you guys have not had a chance to check that out, then I recommend doing so. Go to centerforselfgovernance.com. Where's that .org? Ooh, I'm just going off the top of my head here. I don't know. Well, you could just do an internet search for Center for Self-Governance and then type in documentary, and it will pop up. Okay, I wanted to talk just briefly here about this. Yet another piece, a hit piece by our great friends in the South called the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. So here's this. Another hit piece on Representative Matt Shea, one of the very few bold and courageous representatives still taking a stand for American heritage and our history and our Christian principles against communism and against Islam and the spread of al-Hijra or cultural jihad, taking over a nation culturally. And asserting Sharia law. Well, he takes a stand against these things and brings awareness to these things. But these guys, all they hate is guts. So here they come with another hit piece. They didn't mention me this time, but that's okay. I'm sure they're working on something. Embattled conspiracy theorist and Washington State Republican Representative Matt Shea has been skirting Washington state law to funnel campaign contributions to far-right nonprofit groups in Colorado and Arizona. A Hate Watch investigation reveals. Oh, please investigate and save us from hate. Okay, these little weasels. First of all, what he's doing is perfectly legal. They can have their little investigation, but it doesn't matter what they find out. They've got the piece that they needed. They needed a hit piece as an excuse to use all these words. They call us anti-government. That's what one of the things they ran on me. Let me back up. I'm getting all excited here. He's been skirting Washington state law. Okay, what he's doing is perfectly legal. If a solid case, I spoke to him about this. I want to get the skinny on this. Let me know what's going on. How can I, support you? And I'm not going to condone somebody doing anything unlawful, unethical. But it appears that everything is lawful and ethical. So what they don't like is him contributing to far right nonprofit groups. Okay, but see, there's nothing wrong with you got to remember who these people are. Anything that is center or to the right of center, anything that's not left of center is far right, right? So, of course, they don't say anything about the extreme right, like the anarchists that are burning Portland down to the ground when they riot. They don't say anything about those guys. But it also said Shea is a vocal supporter of the anti-public lands extremist movement. So it's extreme that we actually adhere to the Constitution, which specifically states that these lands will go to the states once they transition from a territory to a state. These lands are transferred over to the states, and the only land that can belong to the federal government are forts, ports, anything that has to do with our national security, right? Batteries, for storage, you know, magazines for storing gunpowder and ammunition, and running operating forts and ports for international trade and so on. That's it. The Constitution is very clear on it. Well, they've proven that they've been extremely negligent in their so-called management of this land, and there's a movement to transfer this land over to the states where it's supposed to be, and that is now extremist, according to these guys. He's affiliated with members of the anti-government militia movement. Most of the militias that I'm aware of are fully in support of the government, lawful government. In fact, they aspire to fall under the operational control for command and control purposes under the local sheriff and or the government of the states. Far from being anti-government, but that's the words that they love to sprinkle all over the militia movement. Militia, by the way, is in our Constitution, and it's a very integral part of the founding of our country. But let's not get into those details. So Representative Matt Shea is a celebrity with the anti-government-inspired American Redoubt movement. Anti-government-inspired. Well, once again, the SPLC has lost all credibility again, because the American Redoubt movement has nothing to do with anti-government anything. In fact, the American Redoubt movement is a political migration movement of Christian patriots who want to embrace our heritage and the rule of law and the Constitution, which is the law of the land. And they want to move away from places where their conservative views are not welcome, and they want to move to areas where their conservative values are welcome, and the laws and their representatives reflect the values of those people that are strategically relocating their families and their businesses as a political migration movement. It's that simple. It's not anti-government. In fact, this is what's interesting. They say this American Redoubt movement is anti-government, but then when they realize how many people that are involved as they moved here as part of a political migration reasons, where they fit the description of the American Redoubt people, average families and business owners that are moving out of occupied territory, heavily controlled by communists and socialists, they move to where it's still free, and they get involved with the political process, and the leftists freak out about how the American Redoubters are taking over the governments. But then they call us anti-government when we're actually not just sitting back pointing fingers at our grievances that we have with the government. We're actually trying to fix things and make things better, and then they freak out. So first, they can't make up their minds. They're schizophrenic, where the SPLC and others, other ilk like them, because on one hand, we're anti-government, and the other hand, we're meddling in government. So they're confused. Well, and for years, Representative Shea has taken to propagating anti-Muslim bigotry, including forming the Spokane, Washington chapter of the anti-Muslim hate group Act for America. Well, Act for America is an incredible, amazing organization worthy of supporting. And here's the litmus test right here for whether it's something you should stand for or against. Where does the SPLC stand on it? Read any of their articles and find out whatever they're against, that's what you should support. Whatever they're for, that's what you should oppose. But see, these guys are weasels. Because what they do is they grab onto a couple of legitimate cases where you got some white supremacist guys talking about harming people because of the color of their skin. And so what they do is they go after those cases, and they're legitimate, right? They're bringing awareness to a community about somebody inside of a community who's legitimately has evil intent. But see, there's only one or two or three of those stories. I mean, there's just a sprinkling of these stories. So that's not enough to garner all of the support and all the donations they need to get filthy, stinking rich. So they start creating boogeymen. Anybody that stands for the Constitution, extreme right-wing anti-government individual over here, please send us more money to support our organization. We're helping us to fight hate. and they're raking it in by the millions. Millions. So they go on in this hit piece. Shea's surplus campaign account made a $3,500 donation September 10th. Oh boy, they got to the bottom of this, didn't they? To the anti-Muslim hate group. Anybody who opposes the spread of Sharia and the spread of jihad, which has vowed to displace our Constitution and replace it with Sharia law, if you stand against it, you're a hate group or a hate person. Right. So basically, if you don't support Muslims having a free-for-all and getting whatever they want, well, you hate Muslims. Forget the fact that we support these organizations that are reaching out and winning souls and leading people to Christ, who are leaving Islam, and they're understanding the message of love versus the message of hate, which they're taught in Islam, and they're leaving that. They're finding God's grace instead of God's, this tyrant of a God under Islam. And they're finding out that there's actually love through Christ. And that resonates with these people. And they are leaving Islam. And these ministries that are, these people that are the testimonies where people have left jihad, terrorists who've become born again Christians. And we're supporting these organizations. How much more can you love somebody than sharing the gospel with them? And we're supporting these groups that are doing this, that are sharing the gospel. And we hate Muslims. We love the people. We hate the doctrine of Islam because the doctrine of Islam is destructive toward women, toward the Western culture, toward our heritage. It is vowed to destroy us. They boast of it. We hate that doctrine. And I'm not going to be ashamed to say that. Do I hate Muslims? No. I celebrate, and I'm sure all of heaven celebrates, every time a Muslim gives his life to Christ and leaves Islam. That's awesome. What a victory. And what a defeat for the enemy when a Muslim becomes a Christian. We hate Muslims? You people are foolish. You're ignorant. And you're also money grubbers. Because that's what it's really all about. Little slime balls out there with your hands out. We need to fight hate. Give us more money. And you have no credibility either. The FBI, just all these articles, FBI quietly cuts ties with the anti-Christian hate group. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, this is out of Judicial Watch. A DOJ, Department of Justice entity, also endorsed the SPLC as a source and listed it as a resource on its hate crime webpage. The conservative groups fired off letters to both the DOJ and the Department of Defense demanding an end to this outrageous relationship with the SPLC because they have no credibility. And of course, this article, I'll link here. You can read the rest of this Judicial Watch article. Here's another one. FBI dumps the SPLC. The AFA Journal. Most people may not know this, but at one time the Bureau used the SPLC's data to bolster its chronicling of hate crimes. But the FBI now says, no, we can't use the SPLC because they are discredited. They have no reliable source of information. Finally, some of this information is coming to light. Here's what Greg Gutfield of The Five on Fox News Channel had to say on September 6th. This is from the AFA Journal. He says, this poverty, quote unquote, poverty center has loads of money, a $320 million endowment, a $320 million endowment the SPLC has. And they chuck almost 20% of it into offshore equities, Cayman Islands stuff. So this poverty group sits on a pile of offshore dough. That's like a personal trainer with a gut or a priest with a harem, this article says. The center, the Southern Poverty Law Center, paid out $20 million in salaries in 2015, but provided just $61,000 in legal assistance. They paid their employees $20 million in salaries, but they only actually spent $61,000 in legal assistance that they say they need your money for to help fight hate. So the SPLC appears to have no poverty and do virtually no law. It's the most misleading name since the Democratic Party. Gutfield is absolutely right. And the millions in salaries the nonprofit doled out in 2015 pale in comparison to the pennies it devoted to legal expenses. I'm not making this up. Just examine their Form 990s, page 10, column A for that year. Form 990 is an IRS form that gives the public information about a nonprofit's finances. And there's article after article. Here's one from Washington Times. SPLC transferring millions to offshore tax havens. Another one from the Federalist. Southern Poverty Law Center busted, sending millions offshore. From the Daily Caller. Why does the Southern Poverty Law Center have millions of dollars offshore? Why does the SPLC have offshore bank accounts? Another article asks. This is SPLCinfo.com. You want to get to the bottom of who these creeps really are, go to SPLCinfo.com. So let's just go to the Washington Times article. SPLC transferring millions to offshore tax havens. According to this report, written by Valerie Richardson from the Washington Times, the Southern Poverty Law Center has come under fire in the aftermath of a report showing the liberal nonprofit has transferred millions to offshore entities, including the Cayman Islands and other tax havens. A Thursday analysis, of course, is written back in September 1st of last year. In the Free Washington Free Beacon, found that the tax-exempt Alabama-based group known as much for its fundraising prowess as its civil rights work, sent more than $4 million to entities incorporated in the Cayman Islands. The SPLC holds $328 million in net assets, and it raised more than $50 million in contributions in 2015, despite spending just $61,000 on actual legal services. Financial consultants describe the overseas dealings, which include financial interests in the British Virgin Islands and Bermuda, as quote-unquote extremely unusual and quote-unquote a huge red flag for a 501c3 organization. And so Tucker Carlson said it's a totally fake organization. And they're writing articles talking about right-wing extremist anti-government this, that, and the next thing. They have no credibility. In fact, they got hit with a huge payout when they lost an anti-defamation league. They lost a defamation lawsuit to Quilliam International and Majid Nawaz, the founder of the organization. Nawaz objected to being mentioned in the SPLC's field guide to anti-Muslim extremists. How often do they cover Muslim extremists? Who's anti-government? Why don't they cover the anti-U.S. government and anti-constitution proponents of Sharia law? But they don't. It's all anything that's Christian, anything that is conservative, anything that's pro-militia. Anyway, this article goes on to talk about this guy, Guandolo, who was paid $123,000 in 2017 for the training of law enforcement personnel in the field. Well, they're doing a hit piece on Guandolo. Well, he's a former FBI agent who did massive amounts of investigation into Islam extremists. And he was on Representative Matt Shea's Patriot Radio broadcast. And Shea recommends bringing Guandolo to Washington to provide law enforcement training. And this has got the SPLC all spun up. But see, these guys are not really about fighting hate at all. They globbed onto this four-page document that they call a manifesto of Matt Shea's declaration of war. A manifesto. Right. So this is what I said. You cannot explain to these guys the truth. They don't want to hear it. It doesn't fit their agenda. The fact that this was not a document that Representative Matt Shea authored, that this document was strictly about it was a sermon on Old Testament warfare where they went in and they killed. I mean, I read to you guys the scripture that this comes right out of. It's like word for word. You give them the chance to surrender when you come up against a city. And if they accept your offer, how's it worded? I don't have that right in front of me. They become your servants. If they refuse to surrender, then you kill all the males. That's in the Old Testament, right? But it goes back to the doctrine that we're under now. The covenant that we're under now is New Testament. Christ. He changed everything. He changed everything. But see, this discussion about should Christians go to war? What does the Bible say about it? And just like shows both ends of the spectrum as far as Christians being involved in war. And some treasonous little traitor took this document and sent it to some people as if this was Shay's manifesto that the local news called it. And so the SPLC, they're running with it now too. Because why? Because it fits their agenda. So they can put their little paws out and beg for more money to help them fight hate. So they're out there creating boogeymen. Oh, this article just goes on and on. Anyway, they're garbage. And I believe, I agree with Tucker Carlson. I believe it is a fake organization. They have no credibility. They're a bunch of little weasels that are calling you and I anti-government of all things. Right there, they just lost all credibility. And they call us extremists. Well, they call Jesus an extremist too. They also said that Jesus was trying to overthrow the Roman government. They also said that he's trying to lead a revolution. He's an extremist. He's an anti-Roman government extremist. What'd they end up doing? Well, after enough of that rhetoric, they ended up hanging him on a cross. So, I don't know. I think you could probably extrapolate that to guess where they would like to have us hanging one day if they get their way. Anyway, these people are liars. I thought I'd shed a little bit of light on that. Filthy, stinking, rotten, lying SPLC. Garbage, pure garbage. And they're not even ashamed. We'll be right back.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is we would fail as a new state because those of us in rural eastern Washington are just a bunch of welfare freeloaders. They say this because we get more money in services than we raise in taxes. That's rich. The truth is that a new state would be nowhere near the size, scope, and socialism we currently see. It would have nowhere near the regulatory or tax burden on small business and workers. It would actually be a place businesses and people would move to. So downtown Seattleites can call hardworking people in rural Washington all the names they want. We know the truth. Hard work and liberty means prosperity, and like-minded businesses and people are drawn to wherever that's fostered. And so while those downtown Seattleites sip their lattes before the next socialist protest, we'll be hard at work building a new state that preserves liberty and freedom for our children, at least. That's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican.
This is segment four, the final segment of Radio Free Redoubt tonight. Segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters. That's WERKZ.com. Custom-made holsters made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Go to Works.com to find out how you can get your custom holster made. Okay, now, in this segment, I want to talk just briefly about what's going on in South Africa. This is kind of hard because I want to try to lighten things up for during Christmas. You know, we're celebrating Christmas. You know, can't we just take a break from the negativity? But I can't turn my back on it while people are suffering right now and what's going on with the persecuted church and the underground church. And I talked about that yesterday. We're concerned about making sure we get all of our Christmas shopping done and it's snow and, you know, we're making sure all the Christmas music's just right and trying to make everything great. Just, you know, shut out the negativity. But there are people that are suffering and about ready to face persecution and suffering right now that we can't forget about. I just want to remind you guys of that. And there's many Christians in South Africa right now that are facing persecution. And persecution is coming. You guys know that they've been working on changing the constitution in South Africa so that they can take land away from farmers specifically because they're white, so they can give it away to someone else who isn't. There's more updates here from the Daily Star out of the UK. They're being told your time is up. South Africa sets the date for white farmer land grabs. That's coming up in March of 2019 now. They've got 4 months left before it's official. And the government at the institutional level begins expropriating land that's been in people's families for generations. And Ramaphosa just earlier this year chastised Trump along with all of the complicit media who said they're not taking land from anyone. They're not killing farmers, when it's a lie. The whole thing is a lie. The country's National Assembly approved a proposal to change the Constitution to make the so-called reforms legal, or make them so-called legal, in a vote of 183-77. This paves the way for land to be taken from farmers without giving any kind of compensation. In fact, they're going to be killed if they don't. Now lawmakers have agreed to set up a committee that will write and introduce a new bill for land expropriations. Now that they've cleared the constitutional hurdle, they just rewrote the law, which is a violation of the law of nature and nature's God, if I ever saw it. The deadline for the end of March next year for the committee to present its first report to Parliament has also been agreed. But there were heated scenes in the House when politicians clashed over the plans. According to local reports, economic freedom fighters, I can't even pronounce their names, argued that land grabs must go ahead as she declared, "Your time is up, white people." I can't help to think, how would this sit with the international community if they're saying it's time to take land from black people or brown people just because of the color of your skin? It's time to give up your property, your belongings that your ancestors have passed down to you. And it's time to take it away from you and give it to somebody else that's a different skin color than you. There would be outrage the world over. And there's not. Very little. So, as you guys know, I've been working with Simon Roche from the Sightlanders. It's the largest civil defense organization outside of any government in the world. And they're preparing to take high ground and to protect their women and children in safe enclaves because they've been told, "We are going to kill you. We're coming for you. We're going to come and kill you. We're going." I've got video here where they're dancing and chanting, "We're going to kill you. We're going to kill your children. We're going to kill your women. We're going to take your land. It belongs to us." Here's right here. I'm looking at a picture right now of an 81-year-old man, unrecognizable. It looks like the Elephant Man. He's got tubes coming all out of his face. They've got a net holding his head together. 81 years old, beaten. His name is Jan Terberg. He was attacked on his farm on Monday morning. And this is being encouraged, by the way, by people in the government. In Burgersdorp, in the Eastern Cape, the attackers wrapped a towel around his head and then proceeded to pour boiling water over his face. His wife sent us this tragic photo today and asked us to share it with the world. This man is 81 years old and currently in the hospital in Bloemfontein. This is part of the reality of farm attacks in South Africa. And I would add that these farm attacks happen weekly, regularly. I'm going to play some audio for you from Simon Roche, who took a trip to Europe to make the case about what they're up against. He gave his little update. It's sad that the Europeans are turning their backs on this situation, but we're hopeful that some people decided to listen. And also, I want to share this with you. This is Simon Roche giving his report from Europe, I think Denmark. We'll listen to this in just a second here, and then we'll go ahead and close out the show. But remember, hold these guys up in your prayer. You can also go to Sightlanders. That's SUID. Landers, SUID www.landers.org, and you can donate and help these people buy emergency medical equipment, communications, radios, food, things like that that they're in need of to help their organization prepare for this coming genocide, really, against their people. These are overwhelmingly mostly all Christians, and the Black Christian community is silent on this, sadly. So anyway, I'll let you listen to his debriefing. It's kind of bittersweet, but and then I'll be back in just a second. We'll close this out.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning from a rainy, wet, damp, cold, miserable Brussels in Belgium. It's fantastic weather. I love it. Just my thing. I just want to say thanks to all of the people who have supported the work that we've been doing over the past couple of years. That's really the only purpose of this message, is to thank particularly, not only, but particularly the Americans, many of you, many of whom are on this group, who have helped, who have arranged demonstrations outside the South African embassy, who hosted us across the length and the breadth of the USA, who have helped us in other ways in the USA, financially, with donations and with giving us accommodation and lifts all across the USA. I think of one lady who gave us about, I don't know, I'm trying to do some mental arithmetic, but about 10,000 miles, literally 10,000 miles, that's about 16,000 kilometers worth of lifts, of transport, of the use of her car through the USA. Another gentleman who picked us up in the northeast of the USA and took us all the way down to the south, and to all of those of you who have put this cause, who have publicized this cause on 4chan and 8chan and all kinds of social media. I know that some of you have even gone to the trouble of getting meetings with senators, and I know that that takes a lot of effort, a tremendous amount of effort. All over Facebook and so on, I'd like to thank the leaders of organizations who hosted us at their annual conferences and similar events, which enabled us to raise the profile of this cause at a time when the global media, the academic elites, the liberal elites, the liberal mainstream, quite apart from the elites, and the powers that be in South Africa, not to mention global capital, have deliberately downplayed the story or overlooked it entirely or sneered and scoffed at the story. I'm thinking of a BBC report recently which said that South Africa is not a war zone because the rate of murder in South Africa is 2 points below the death rate in they used Afghanistan, Syria, and Libya, I think, as their three benchmarks. You know, it's 2 points below, therefore it's not serious. It's 2 points below a war zone, therefore it's okay. And it doesn't qualify as a war zone itself. These people are wicked to the marrows of their bones. And you guys, more than anybody, and this is a fact, there's no humility in this, there's no modesty, false or otherwise, in this, when I say that you guys have literally done more than we have done to publicize this case and to raise the profile of it. People in South Africa don't appreciate that because they don't follow American social media. But I know that you have quite literally done far, 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 far more than we have to publicize this cause. So I thank you and I bless you. You are our champions. And having had the little bit of success that we had at the European Parliament the day before yesterday, the time is ripe for this thanks. That's all. Have a good day, one and all of you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay, so there you have it. I want to just pass that on. I couldn't do that any justice by trying to summarize that. I wanted you to hear it straight from the leader of one of the largest groups over there, the Sightlanders. And they settled there when there were no blacks in that region when they settled there. And that land, that farmland, has been passed down through generations and generations. They were there before the British came and colonized the area. So just remember to lift them up in your prayers. I hope you're inspired by that, and I hope that's encouraging to you. Just remember to if nothing else, just lift them up in your prayers as we go about the holiday season and celebrating Christmas. And we want everything to be safe and warm and fuzzy, but it's not that way for everyone. So please remember them. We'll be talking more about that after the first of the year. It's that March, the end of March deadline creeps up on those folks. We want to keep the awareness up. Anyway, guys, that's it. I'm going to close this down. You have a blessed week. Thank you so much for your letters of encouragement and support and your prayers and just for being out there. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and I'm John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name, too. Good night.